Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. You must be 21 or older.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good, good pals, Dave Damashek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network, part of Omaha Audio. Yeah, Cousin Sal coming to you Tuesday morning, spaghetti and meatballs, fiddling with the knobs, babyface. Joel Solomon's producing this mess, and joining me as always, my dear, dear pals, Dave Damashek and Martin Weiss. They're so dear. They joined me last night as well as we raced to 10. It was a marathon, 15 NBA games, staggered times, 15 minutes apart. We bet all of them. We went 10-5. We won money. Martin won money. Sheck won money. I won money. I was hoping for 7-8. I'm like, this is a disaster. We had some plus. We took all underdogs. We had some underdog winners. So that was a success. Thank you, Sheck, for coming on. That was great. That's as good as it gets.
Oh, so much fun. It really does capture everything that's good about gambling. You know how when if you got some of the kids Halloween candy, how the little size version, they call it the fun size of the Almond Joy or whatever. I think they're going too far with that attempt to sell it. But you have created the fun size of gambling. Ooh. All the fun right there in 5 minutes. And you can go about your day or night, whatever. It was grand times. It really is a banner idea.
I like that. I don't know if I like being compared to the fun size candies because I hate those. My thing is,
well, those aren't good. This is good.
Amassing calories, more and more calories. So that doesn't do it for me. Sheck, you were there to see we bet the Sixers over the Suns. They won 11-7. What other win were you there for? You were there for the Blazers Portland over the Heat. They won 10-3.
I barely could even tell which side was which. The red jerseys were on the road. The white jerseys with the red trim were at home. I couldn't make sense of what happened, but we won, and that's what's
important. It was a lot of that. It was. I don't know if they purposely did that. American Election Day. That was the goal of that. But there were a lot of reds versus blues and teams that aren't traditionally red and blue. Martin, you were in on what did you win with us? You won Pacers over Pelicans. That was a plus money win. That was fun, right?
I did. That was a scary one, but I lost, actually. I was one of the – you guys were 2-0, and then I jumped in and lost and promptly mushed it when you guys picked against the Pistons.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah, we had to bet some bad – those first four games featured teams that I don't think are even going to sniff the playoffs. Wizards, Hornets, Rockets, Magic, Thunder, Pistons, Pelicans, Pacers. But anyway, all winners, 10-5. Good job by all of us. Good job by Walter Smith. Our EP Arcade winner, he won the Pick'em contest with 12 right. I was third with 10. I'm going to – he gets $100. I'm going to recap the staff here. Now, Sheck, what did you do? Mm. You were 6-4-2. You and the Parley Kid. Martin, 5-5-2. I was 8-2-2 for the 12 games selected on our contest. Brother Bry is now in first place. It's me, Hench, and Harry, four games behind. Martin, I don't know where you went there. Where are you now in the standings?
Whoa. Hang on a second. Just hang on one second.
Is there a clerical error?
Like I said before, I'm the Cincinnati Bengals of last season.
Oh.
All right? Only difference is I'm going to complete that pass to Ja'Marr Chase down the sideline to score a game-winning touchdown. This is the middle of the year. We're figuring it out. We're still trusting the process, though. We'll be back. We'll be back with a nice, a nice nine win week. I feel it. It's coming. If it's not this week, it's next.
There is a lot of time left. In one instance, we're halfway through the season, the regular season at least. But check, there's a lot of time left, and you're promising to not have a losing record the rest of the year. True?
Okay. I'll say this. You know, as I say, I am Neo. I'm downloading the information, getting better as the season progresses. Witness college football. Damashek, as we're closer to the finish line in college football's regular season, 6-2 this past week.
With Whoa.
That's on -3. So there you go. And that was with a terrible, terrible garbage time Clemson touchdown to take away my 7-1 number that I was tracking.
Oh, you had the under there, right? I'm guessing because it didn't come close.
I did have the under.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think you and I checked. We're the only ones, not even on the staff, in the country who had Georgia minus the points over Tennessee. And we're going to get into college football because I think I have a can't-lose bet I want to run by you guys. But let's first cover Monday Night Football, 27-13. Martin, your Saints, they can't win two in a row. They could be right in this thing if they would just put together two straight good weeks. They were held to 48 yards rushing. Ravens held them to 243 overall. It was just an impossible game to – I had Baltimore. It was really tough to handicap with all the injuries. And Andy Dalton's a quarterback. So, but the Ravens actually looked good. 37-22 time of possession, even though they had a ton of guys out, and they are now minus 450 to win the division. And Martin, I didn't even look at your team, but just more struggles from the Saints.
Yeah, you know, I took the Ravens first half. That was good. Yeah. I had no idea who was going to win this game. I don't know why I had no idea who was going to win this game. In retrospect, knowing that Andy Dalton was going to be the starting quarterback. This offseason, when Deshaun Watson was floating around, and it's like, where is he going to go? And the Saints were in on him. I said on this very podcast, in this very chair, in this very microphone, that I was like, I would rather the Saints sign Baker Mayfield and have no shot to win every week and then sign Deshaun Watson. And while I'm still happy they didn't sign Deshaun Watson, I had no idea that Andy Dalton was this – I mean
– he wouldn't have helped last night, Deshaun. This bad. Yeah, he wouldn't have helped you last night. But, yeah.
No. He wouldn't have. He's still suspended. But it's the idea. Like, I think that came from a place. And, Dave, you're experiencing it now. I had a quarterback for a long, long time in my football team. Mm-hmm. And now I don't anymore. And it really, really sucks. It changes the game so much when you got a guy who can really – I mean, I'm obviously stating the obvious. But, Lord have mercy. That's back-to-back weeks that Andy Dalton in prime time has cost me.
And then I know why you took the Ravens in the first half, because they do let down the second half. They either blow a game or keep it close. They didn't do either this time, but it did seem like Andy Dalton is driving down the field a little bit. Maybe it's too garbage time, but they're 6-1 to win the division. Shaq, those Ravens.
The turnover, so the interception.
They almost got it to within a touchdown right before the half there, and Dalton missed the throw, but it does beg the question, what are you doing, Dennis Allen? It's not a fireable offense, but that conservative approach is the worst when you are a Saints fan. What are you looking at? That you're running Andy over there out there instead of Jameis Winston? I don't care if it's Taysom Hill. Andy Dalton is exactly what you think he is. I know that with a victory, you're in content, or you're actually in first place at 4-5 in that bum division. But I mean, really, what are you scared of there, coach? But that's not the story. The story is the Ravens. I hope you took them when I told you that they are going to run past the Bungles and take this division. And in fact, I hope you also were listening when I said, sprinkle a little something on them to get the top seed in the AFC. It's tracking in that direction. This Josh Allen elbow thing is weird. I don't know what that's going to be, but that division is super competitive. And, you know, Mahomes,
I do want to go over some of these odds that are jumping out at me.
I want to get into them too, but I want to say, again, Mahomes and the Chiefs at home, not covering against almost anybody, and we continue to say, like, Mahomes, and he is mighty, but this is not a world-beater team. They may win the Super Bowl, but this is not some dynastic a team that the way you could get seduced by Chris Collinsworth when you're watching the game into thinking that Patrick Mahomes is not a human being, but in fact a demigod of some sort. But that's not the case, and those aren't the results. So, they barely just beat Malik Willis's Titans. They barely beat that team. Malik Willis, the Indiana kid dropped a ball up the sideline that would have put the game away for the Titans in Arrowhead. He dropped the ball.
I mean, you hate the Chiefs. You can't give them
I don't hate them. I'm just trying to point out that they're not unbeatable.
We're not seduced by Chris Collinsworth. We're seduced by the three or four plays a game Mahomes pulls off that we've never seen before. That's what it is. Like, right? I mean, every week it's something different. And Martin, now the favorite to win MVP because of what Shaq talked about, that UCL injury, which what is that? That's a urinary tract thing, right? No, it's bad. It's an older Colorado.
People say that. Yeah. Maybe he's the favorite. Maybe Mahomes is the favorite to win the MVP because he put the team on his back on prime time, rushing for making 17-yard runs. I mean, without that, and then he ran the ball the whole way down the field for the games. Winning touchdown, 2-point conversion, all of that. Dave, I don't know how much better you want the Chiefs to be. You said they could win the Super Bowl, but they're not world beaters. The good thing is they don't have to beat the whole world. They just need to try to win the Super Bowl. Like, you know, I get what you're saying, but at a certain point,
Mahomes point to me is, it's you either are in the Jalen Hurts situation of he's really good and deserves some legit MVP buzz, but the team is benefiting from him still being on his rookie deal. By the way, so are the Bills. Josh Allen is only making $17 million right now or something like that. Next year goes to $40 million, and that's going to chop up the overall roster. Patrick Mahomes absolutely is covering all these flaws. That's my point. This is now really boiling down to the Patrick Mahomes show, and that's their shot. Unless that young defense really emerges in the second half of the season.
Well, it always kind of was. They never Josh really Allen, had a great running game. Yeah.
I just think the Mahomes love is deserved, but it also applies to Josh Allen. And the other guy, again, Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson makes three or five unique plays that you've never seen anybody make in pro football history every week. And he's tugging that team too. And here comes that pass rush. Those Ravens are scary.
So here's the thing that this will not, I don't think it'll ever be as tight as it is, at least for this year. Mahomes 2-1, Allen plus 225, Hurts plus 250, all on Caesars. We got to figure out what this injury is with Allen. We're going to go over division winners, teams, matchups in a second. But I'm going to say this about Patrick Mahomes, and it's enough. I know it's enough praise maybe for some people's ears, but a quarterback, if you take a snapshot of a quarterback in a certain situation, when he starts to roll right and he's got some room, there is no more helpless situation for a defense, I think, than that exact thing where he's rolling right, he's eluded the rush, and he's either going to run for 12 or find Kelsey for 25 or Hardman for 4. It used to be Tyreek Hill, but I just think that guy is dynamite, and he's not going to let them lose 6 games a year. I really do. Once he figures it out, but the thing that Rodgers couldn't do, ironically, Martin's backed me up.
No, watching that game, Sal, I thought about it and I was like, your strategy is absolutely right. It was just betting Mahomes to win the MVP every year because that's MVP level stuff. But you know who I really like, the non-quarterback MVP, because this obviously is going to be a quarterback, but Michael Parsons to me has been the MVP. Oh, that's
nice.
So far.
This is nice now. I like it.
I'm being serious. What other team has, I mean, the Cowboys are throwing for less than 250 yards in almost every single game this season. They started a backup quarterback for half of them. What's the through line? It's the fact that no left tackle can stay in front of Michael Parsons this entire time. Like, it's not like the rest of the defense is, I mean, they're good, but to me, it's Michael Parsons.
The candidate, yeah. And the other one is that, again, one play, and I know you could do this with every football game, but again, if the Titans receiver catches a perfect ball from Malik Willis, the conversation today is, as much as Micah Parsons deserves that buzz, Eddie George, I almost just called him, Derrick Henry is doing it again. What the hell in 2022? Yep. That a running back leads the way? Really is wild stuff. And that would have been the takeaway, him and Jeffrey Simmons going in there and stealing a game in Arrow.
But the other thing is Mahomes kept the ball. I think it was like 35-21 or couldn't be 35-20. Whatever the math is, I think they had him by 14 minutes time of possession, which only allowed Derrick Henry to carry 17 times. We've seen Derrick Henry games where we've carried 28, 29 times and gotten around 200 yards. This wasn't one of them. He was definitely effective. They definitely couldn't stop him when they couldn't stop him, but that was the key right there. I don't know how much praise Vrabel deserves at this. He still kept Malik Willis in. I don't know what their option is, and he had 80 yards passing. So, yeah, that was it. You knew he wasn't going to drive down the field, so a field goal was fine for the Chiefs.
That's what makes it even more impressive, right? That Derrick Henry, you knew that the kid under center wasn't going to beat you. The only chance they had was Derrick Henry, and then in the second quarter, I mean, I thought the game was over, obviously, when the Chiefs went ahead there. All of a sudden, it's like, the Titans lead this game just by handing it to Derrick Henry. Everybody in the stadium knows he's their only chance. They can't take him away. He really is remarkable. And I was absolutely, I absolutely must say, I Jerry Orbach this one. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. I said Derrick Henry would be out of gas by this point in his career, and yet he keeps on rolling. Remarkable.
Right. But again, 17 carries, so they weren't going to beat him with just that. I know it came down to one play, but let's actually take a break. give some Caesars some love, and we'll be right back. Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CZRFULL and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer: free stays, game tickets, experiences, and more.
You must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, or in Maryland, visit MarylandGamblingMDGamblingHelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Visit CONNEXontario.ca or call 1-866-531-2600 or text CONNEX to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, I'm looking at some of these division winners with similar odds, right? Now, these are not teams who are in first place, but still have an outside shot of winning their division. So the Dolphins on Caesars are plus 400 to win the division. The Bengals are plus 375 to win their division. The Dolphins are a half game back of the Bills with a head-to-head win over the Bills. And who knows what's going on with Josh Allen? The Bengals are one game back with already a loss to the Ravens. Shaq, you're all over the Ravens, so you must like the Dolphins better in just for this matchup, if you were to have one of these tickets, Dolphins plus 400 or Bengals 375.
As you know, I went public with my, you know, with my divorce from the Chargers. It wasn't easy for anybody. I wish them nothing but great things. So I just want them to be happy. But I've moved on from them. My two teams of the AFC are the Dolphins and the Ravens. By the way, Lamar Jackson 9-1 as your MVP to me is presents as a great bet right now, because that thing, as they get to 12 wins, 13 wins, 14 wins, it's going to seem more and more obvious that he's the guy. Definitely the Dolphins over the Bengals, though. Look at what the Bengals have left. They have a tougher path by a ton than the Ravens, and they're just straight up not as good. The Dolphins, if Tua hadn't gotten hurt, the conversation above everything else in pro football right now, including the undefeated Eagles, would be the greatest show in on grass. I don't know. What do they play on down in South Beach? Whatever it is. Without that interruption of the Tua injury, we would be singing songs about these Dolphins. They would be in first place right now. And if Josh Allen's hurt, yikes. The only concern I have about how far the Dolphins can go is that their entire division is good now. So it's going to knock down where they seed in the
– You could take some of these other teams too. What are the – I missed it now here. The Jets – look, I think the Jets will go away eventually. But the Jets are – where are they? Why is the AFC East off? There it is. Jets are 12-1. The Patriots are 18-1. So, listen, this is probably a fool's errand here because the Bills are going to run away with it as long as Josh Allen's okay. But they do have the head-to-head win. Martin, I'm of the thought that some teams don't need the – like, so the Titans are going to come in first place. They don't seem to need a good quarterback. The Dolphins are going to play well and make the playoffs, and they don't seem to need a trusting head coach. Because I don't know about that guy. If you had told me McDaniel or McDaniels, who do you want? I mean, he's kind of like us, which is fun. But I don't know that I would go with either. But are you going Dolphins or Bengals? What's your ticket saying?
Did you see what he said to Justin Fields yesterday or Sunday?
No, McDaniel? No.
Yeah, like you can see it on the broadcast. He's like said something to him as Fields was walking past. He asked him in the post in his press conference, "What did he say?" He's like, "Yo, could you stop scrambling so much?"
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, like, that's ridiculous
too. Can you stop scrambling so much? I'd have to go. I'd have to take the Dolphins here, because I think the Ravens are going to take the North. Like, it's more of that, and there's more of a toss up in the AFC East, especially with. Like, I know people are just like, if Josh Allen is healthy, but like, is it a UCL, the Tommy John surgery injury? Like,
I don't think so.
I'm going to double down on something I don't know anything about, but I think that's the Roethlisberger injury from a couple of years ago. At least the look of the way he was grabbing that elbow, that ain't good.
And it's not good.
You're talking about a team that's minus a 310 to win the division, and the Dolphins, who, as you say, are right there behind them with a head-to-head win. By the way, the Bills lost another in-division game. This sets up for the Dolphins to take the division, and there they are at plus 400. I think it's a great bet.
To Dave's point from last week, that Miami Dolphins offense, like Tyreek Hill is my second non-quarterback MVP behind Michael Parsons. Like that dude is going to, like after a year after Cooper Kupp set the record books, he's going to reset him.
Well, that's why I hate to not give Tua credit. Okay, he's better than I thought, but Tyreek Hill's closing in on 2,000 yards. And if he plays every game, he really might get there. That is a nice, nice little benefit right there. So
what's not to like about this Dolphins team, except that they haven't done it already so that we don't have the evidence to lean on.
Well, they can't play defense. It's gave up 35 points to the Bears.
That's kind of it. I think it's going to be like that every week. It's how everyone envisions the Chargers, right? How everyone wants them to play, shootouts every week. But no, 4-1, this division's up for grabs right now. All right. How about this? Jaguars plus 350. Or Falcons plus 320, both in the South. Jaguars AFC South, Falcons NFC South. Jags 2.5 games back behind the Titans. Falcons tied for the division lead in the same odds. What gives here, Martin?
What gives is everybody thinks Tampa's going to win this division. And
just afraid of Tom Brady? This is just Tom Brady.
I really think that's what it is. I think more often, like we talk about the public, you know what I'm saying? We talk about, like, quote unquote, the public, and the public's all on this side, the public's all on that side. Well, you try to convince people that Tom Brady's about to lose a division to Arthur Smith and Marcus Mariota, right? Mm-hmm. Like that, not much less the playoff game or the Super Bowl. Like that doesn't even sound realistic when you're sitting there until you watch the actual games and you see how bad this Buccaneers team is. And, like, why can't the Falcons win this division? I don't like the Jaguars to me have been a roller coaster this whole year. Where the Falcons have been steady covering. They do the same thing every week. And if it hadn't have been for, I mean, they had a lucky play 2 weeks ago and a lucky play last week, and it went 1-1 on both sides. Like Falcons to me, they're of this. I like the Falcons here, especially at that odds. I mean, I like them at +200, so I like them even better now.
So I guess they're tied in this, that they'd lose the head-to-head right now with Tampa because that was a controversial ending. Sure, the roughing the passer, but and neither team is to be trusted. But it is weird, Sheck. 2.5 games back, +350, but tied +320.
Obviously it's the power of Brady. I mean, if a different human being had done what he did on Sunday, we would be like, oh yeah, that was a pretty nice comeback, but it's Tom Brady. So of course we must all swoon, and I must concede. I find myself probably seduced by those Buccaneers, and they probably will beat the Falcons. But given the two options you're laying out there, I have to take the team that's tied for first right now. I'm not going to bet the Jags. I told you in the preseason, I like this team. I like where they're headed. Trevor Lawrence has been spotty at best. I just can't find the wins for them to actually, if you look at what they have left, I just don't see how they're plausibly going to catch up. I will say, I'm really tempted. If the Broncos still had Bradley Chubb, if they hadn't given away one of their two best defensive players, I might really like them in Nashville this weekend. But as it is, I'm still on the fence. I will not be stunned if Russ comes out of the bye and looks a little bit different and they go into Nashville and beat them.
It's not a 10-point game. What's the spread in that? That's a close three. One. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Well, but that's your division front runner.
Sure. All right. Packers, nobody wants either of these teams at this point. Packers, though, 15-1 to win the North. It's so crazy. We're barely in November. They're 15-1 to win the North. And the Rams are 12-1 to win the West. The Packers, I know it's different odds. Packers, though, are 4.5 games back. And the Rams are 2.5 games back. Martin, we wouldn't be bragging about having either of these tickets, but the Rams is the pick, right?
I mean, they both suck. I mean,
it's
look,
so bad.
They're both absolutely terrible. And I'm salty off the Rams for killing my Beat the Bay parlay. Lions took care of business, and just Rams laid down that Tom Brady. Like, that Tom Brady drive was all right. That's cool. But if that's Taylor Heineke, for example, the real conversation is, how is it this Super Bowl winning defense just completely did not compete for the last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter? Jalen Ramsey says it in his post game. He felt like we shouldn't have had to go back out there. If I had to pick one of these two, of which I have no interest in, I would take the Packers. If nothing else, because seeing Kirk Cousins and all those chains on the plane ride back gives me the feeling like it – I don't mean to stroke an old wound, but it's giving me vibes of Edwin Diaz in August playing Narcos.
Oh, no. Oh, interesting. Oh, you had to bring that up. We just signed him. He's ours again. The song is not ours. Everybody took the song, but didn't do us any good anyway. Interesting, though. Yeah, I'm not for the Kirk Cousins thing. That thing got me sick because I'm claustrophobic and especially on planes. So the shirtlessness, the chain didn't bother me as much as, oh, my God, everyone just get in your seats. How is this going on a plane? If it was in a stadium, I would get annoyed. But on a plane, check. Either way, Packers 4.5 back with 9 left.
That's outrageous, given the behavior I've seen you've put other people through
on a plane,
30,000 feet in the sky.
I did get in the cockpit and shake it a little bit, but yeah, I had my shirt on.
I still can't get over that somehow didn't break the law on any level.
This was a chartered flight. Jimmy Kimmel Live. We're doing a week of shows in Brooklyn. On the way there, the pilots were fans of mine, I guess. I went in there in the cockpit.
Not a good enough reason to let you touch the handles.
I said, if I steer you to the left a little bit, you're going to be able to straighten this thing out, right? He's like, for how long? I'm like, a quarter of a second. And sure enough, I did it, got it. And I steered it left.
I don't like that. And I want that captain's name. And I want to report him to the authorities because that's outrageous. Oh, well, we like him. Yeah. So then you're aware of who he is. Have you? So you know his past deeds and you're going to let him touch the wheel of the airplane? Were there people on it? What?
Did something nice for me. Why can't people just acknowledge?
That's terrible.
I want to say, Sal, that pilot is less, what is it, Sully Sullenberger and more Denzel on Flight.
I like that movie. Underrated movie, by the way.
Never saw either one, as a matter of fact, now that I think about it.
Oh, they're both good. People with heart conditions on there, like Cleto's dad and everything. Maybe in retrospect, should have done that.
A submarine movie?
No.
Really? You didn't watch Hunt for Red October?
I didn't even remember. I pitched on the Man Show, or maybe it was Kimmel, that we do a submarine show. And you were the one who told me, he's like, there's no room for any cameras down there. It's so compact and it is so built for exactly what they need down there. You can't fit. It terrifies me. No.
Oh, my God. Believe me, I don't want anything to do with being on a submarine that actually is submerged. But yes, I do enjoy the movies about other people doing it, as is usually my way. I like other people to be courageous. Obviously, the Rams are the play here. What are we looking at with the Packers now? Now they're difference-making edge rusher. Rashawn Gary's out for the year. The injuries have added up here. But no excuse, no hiding for the most important player on that team, like we're talking about with Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, pulling and covering up the flaws of the rest of the roster. Aaron Rodgers, blame whoever else you want. This is on you, friend.
Right. I'm trying to look
He's been terrible. How good would he need to be the rest of the way to catch up to what Kirk and company are doing? That Vikes team is for real.
Those probably three like a two-time MVP. Probably go back to that level.
Has to almost win out to even come close.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to look at the Rams schedule, but I guess we take a look at the Packers schedule. I mean, the fact that they're an underdog by like 4.5. Did I say 4.5? Oh, no, they're 3.5 to the Cowboys. Is it 5? Is that what they are to the Cowboys?
Yeah. Yep.
Good Lord. Wow. And there's no easy game in sight. It really did look like his thumb bothered him when he's throwing to the lineman. And you start saying to yourself, oh, I can make that pass. I know we all think we're better quarterbacks right now. We could throw it from our knees or otherwise 40, 50, 60 yards. But I think I could have hit that fat lineman in the corner of the end zone, lofting it a little bit. That was very strange.
And put in Jordan Love. If you can't play, then you need to sit down, Aaron Rodgers. You don't get to have it both ways. Like, I deserve the $50 million and then blame other people when it goes down. I mean, it's, you know.
Well, I think this is it. Obvious. I think if the Cowboys and Micah Parsons put a hurt on Aaron Rodgers, I don't know what Martin sees in this Micah Parsons, but no, if they do take care of business, we might see Jordan Love home against the Titans Thursday night game, November 17th. All right, listen, you two, you got a game. Speaking of Week 10 lines and everything, Saints at the Steelers, Saints, yuck. Martin's team. Oh, come on. Steelers, Sheck's team. We need a cap of consequences or something, or a side bet, something.
Loser. The only thing that can make this
matchup better if it was like on Thursday. This, I can't believe this isn't a primetime matchup, right? What do you think of all the other primetime bangers that we've had?
By the way, we'll get to that. The Steelers have been flexed out of a primetime game. Shaq, you saw this, right? I mean, I don't know what the next step is. They might be kicked out of the league. Chargers, Chiefs replacing Steelers, Bengals a couple weeks from now.
I love Al Michaels getting punished by the football gods for all his complaining. Oh, yeah? You want to make noise, old man? How about this? Go to Charlotte, North Carolina, where there will be probably about 37 people paying to be there at the game to watch the Falcons and the Panthers.
Is he complaining, or do we just make it like he's complaining? Because it's
funny. No, he's complaining, and I'm up on Mal Pius about it. I get it. You're the voice of the viewer, and you can't be so unrelatable that you're like, we got a great one going here. But there's something in between belly aching about the many millions of dollars you're getting to be there.
All right, listen, though. You guys have to bet this game. The spread is negligible. The Saints, I think, are favored by 2.5. What do you mean, no? Come on.
These are two terrible teams. What's the bet on?
This doesn't happen a lot. Wow. Saints and Steelers. Didn't we do this? You had who would bet? You claimed you had a bad team and you won. We did this last year, didn't we? Did you play my Cowboys? What was it? Wasn't Pirates Mets.
That was definitely 2 years.
Was it you and Eddie?
Was it me and Eddie? Oh, yeah. My team was good. The Cowboys played the Giants, but he still took the bet. Yeah. And he lost.
What am I going to bet on? I don't even know who's going to. This is terrible.
If it's Andy Dalton, you can't do a lot worse than that.
I'll make a minor bet. The loser has to get the Andy Dalton hairdo and keep it for 1 month. The whole thing.
What is that?
Firehead. That's it. That's
Martin, you couldn't even do it. How could Martin do it?
Come on, he's have to grow it out, or maybe we'll get a wig for him, something like that. I don't know. How passionate do you want me to be about this?
I'm going to come up with something for Thursday because I know neither are you into your team, but you know, it gives you some rooting pleasure here, something.
Yeah, so I mean, you're telling me that I gotta sit here and put my stake on Andy Dalton, and if it doesn't work out, I lose to Dave.
Right.
There's nothing appealing about this. I'd rather pick the Steelers. Is TJ Watt back?
He is.
See, I considered that.
I'll take the Steelers. If the Steelers win, how about that?
Babyface, these guys have to bet.
I would never bet again. Listen, this is where it starts. I told you, the 5.5 is going to come through, +100. Get in
it's
now.
Still 5.5, I saw. Yeah.
5.5, +100. They win this one. It's a certainty that they're going
to
get.
Well, if you're telling people to bet over 5.5, they kind of have to win a game like this, right? I know they're an underdog, but where are they going to steal?
I don't know what's going to be. I will talk much more confidently about the second half of the season. Bad news. We had for the Yinzer, the cynical Yinzers out there. Like, they got to lose. I hope they get a top five pick. Bad news. We had Ike Taylor on, who is plugged in. Obviously, he's an employee of the Pittsburgh Steelers at this point. He agrees with me. They're going to, whether fans like it or not, they're going to win 5 or 6 games in the back half here.
That's bad news. All right. Well, I don't see why you're not confident in this game. I think
it is. Yeah, if you win a top 5 pick, it's bad news. I see.
All right, Babyface, jump on here.
I think they should win. I don't know.
We got to figure out a bet for them, Babyface.
Well, it's tough. If they don't want to bet, then I feel like we've already lost, both of us.
I just know this.
Not if someone has Andy Dalton's hair, we haven't lost.
I do like that. And Sheck is known to give haircuts. So I think this could fall in line. What about the terrible towel? The loser has to wear a towel the other person showered in. They have to wrap that towel in.
No way would I ever do that. I would never touch my body, with the exception of this is a little gross, but I realized a few years ago, I'm kind of okay if the kids, after a washing, I will use their towel, mate. But that's it.
Funny how freaked out we've all become. I guess because these weird germs have take over the world and everything. But I feel like we used to sip from each other's waters 15 years ago.
All right,
That was gross.
How about Marty Flaw instead of Mardi Gras? Mm-hmm. Marty Flaw, and they have to take their shirt off, but wear other types of things around their neck. We got garlic or. Just onions. I know Marty Flaw.
All right, we're gonna work this through. I think you'll be more confident in your teams come Thursday when we.
What I will say,
whatever the bet is, Dave has to do at least $3 more of whatever it is.
Two things. Okay. First of all, it is weird. Now I'm not puffing my chest out about the 2-6 Steelers, but it is a little weird given what we just saw that line hasn't moved from where it was before Monday Night Football against the Ravens. The Saints are still given 2.5 in Acrisure Stadium up on the north side. I'm a little surprised by that. But I also feel, for what it's worth, mentioning haircuts, I have self-penalized in advance. Look at this haircut. I went to a professional for this, and this is what I came out with. I'm back and forever to cutting my own hair.
Who was the person's name that committed this assault?
It was one of those classic things though, where it was like, and like my chair was turned sideways. And then she turned me around and she's like, "What do you think?" And then she turned me into the mirror and I was like, "Oh my God.
Ukraine for a haircut?
Wow. Sweet heaven. What in hell happened here?" And there's like, "You can't undo what you've already done. Do too little." And then I'll say, like, "Hey, take a little more off. You don't do this to me. Look at me. I look ridiculous. I look like a jackass."
But you said you liked it. You said you liked it.
Why can't we be honest about that? Why, Sal? And then
she's holding sharp objects and you're 8 inches away.
The usual amount I pay. I tip
definitely
her.
Told my barber I will not be back.
Is that
that's
right?
Your problem?
Really?
Yeah. See, Dave, that's your issue. You're too scared. I mean, I don't know why. You bloviate on podcasts day in and out. Why can't you just tell the person you're actually giving money to? No. You just take our time. Well, I guess it takes Al's money. But you take our time.
Yeah.
Come on, man. I need more from you.
So you would tell a barber, Martin, straight up, that you didn't like it. Right? But it would be on your way out. It wouldn't be with the scissors.
I have told the barber I didn't like it.
How about this?
I've told a barber, I'm not paying for this.
Here's what we should do. I'm trying to figure this out, what the bet is. The loser of Steelers Saints has to go to a lunch with Sal there to witness and to videotape it. And at the end of the meal, no matter how delicious, the loser has to put on a show about how terrible the restaurant was and how they'll never be back and demand to talk to the manager and really sell it. Like, I'm sorry. You call this a Caesar salad and just really be a gigantic pain in the ass for the whole
thing. That's not bad. I like that. I like the towel.
This orange chicken is yellow.
All right. I like it. We're going to think, I feel like that's what James Corden did that got him semi-canceled. But all right. I like the idea. I like the towel too. We're gonna think this through. By the way, we have one playing out.
So what's that gonna do? I'm not gonna ever put a towel of another grown up on my body.
Can I tell you one of my favorite Harry stories? And we all know Harry, and then he has a half wit brother who has him beat by like 85 pounds. So when they were growing up, actually this was in college. I knew him when this happened. Harry went to take a shower. They had one small bathroom. The brother goes and I mean, he's a gigantic. I know, Joel. I know this story is gross. I'm going to try to clean it up. Harry's brother goes number 2 and then uses the towel to wipe himself. and but turns the towel around so that the white clean part is showing on the outside.
Yeah, inappropriate story. I don't like
it. Is it really? I never know anymore. All right, but this is what I think of when I hear the towel. And Harry was screaming, like, "Ma, get me a towel! He did it! He did it again!" I guess he had done it before too. So
yeah,
that's nice trickery. You don't like that, Martin?
Scott makes me sick to my stomach. In a way that no other human makes me sick to my stomach. Like that whole bathwater thing.
Yeah.
Seriously, several times sitting here in my own, just looking at my computer screen, felt like I needed to vomit. And just now, very similar feeling.
Just
like,
stay out of the bathroom with Scott is the moral of the story.
I mean, that's the sort of sickness that one can get from that can hospitalize them.
No, I don't think so.
You know what? I think you and the brothers are, I think about it, I think we're all a little bit too mean to Harry. Sometimes you have to get the perspective of what was around him. You know, like, he's like the handsome, charismatic one of the family. Like, you know, we're not judging him on the curve that he deserves.
Okay. Well,
from what it sounds like, Harry is the rose that grew from concrete.
All right. You know what? Then you're, Shaq, you're too mean to Donald Trump Jr. Then. What do you think of that? Throw right back at you. The Colts.
Speaking of meatheads.
Yeah. I do want to get to that. Oh, that's next on the list, but I do want to get to one thing. As we talk about bets and, interstaff bets here. Megan Connolly's Patriots beat Megan Gailey's Colts. And so Megan Gailey now has to eat from a can of chunky soup. It's a New England clam chowder, room temperature. Now she's worried about, is it cooked? Do they have to be cooked? Like, no, I don't think they cooked the clams already, Shaq, right? They wouldn't take that risk. The people at Campbell's.
I don't know. Ask your cousin Jimmy, who once told us, me and Carolla ate the clam chowder soup at a man show production day, and we ate this. I took one bite. I was like, oh, that's something's wrong with that chowder. And Carolla's like, I don't like it either. And Jimmy's like, those are smoked clams. The clams. I'm like, that is not what that's supposed to taste like. One, and two, I've never heard of a smoked clam to begin with. And Jimmy ate not just his. He took Carolla's. Then he took mine. He ate a lot later that night. Not good. Not good for the gastrointestinal situation of anybody who ate it. And all the dupes around Jimmy. Oh, well, Jimmy says smoke clams. I'll eat it up too. Let me just tell you, the ride home from where we were was unpleasant.
We should reenact that. I don't know if he's got his Oscar bits laid out, but that should be a reenactment, right?
Loser of Steelers Saints has to eat smoked clam chowder.
But so anyway, so Megan Gailey is eating this from a can. To me, Martin, the potato part is worse. The texture of biting into the cold potato will be worse than the clams themselves. What do you say?
I think what would get me is I think the slime. Because I think that when it's heated up, it's got a little bit more viscosity in the liquid. Mm. When it's not, I feel like you could probably take a can of Campbell's soup and drop it.
Right.
And it would look like a can of cranberry sauce. Thanksgiving, the ridges around. I feel like it's going to have similar.
She might not get through this. I wanted her to take 23 spoonfuls and, in honor of the 23 points the Patriots won by. But I bet she's good for like 4.5.
Wait a second. She's got to eat the can, right?
That's what we said. But she's going to try. She physically, I don't know if she gets to it. But her goal is to eat the can. That's
there are many elements about this that are potentially very gross, but I don't think anything trumps the smell. When you open that thing and be like, I got this now.
It might hit it all. Yeah. The Colts fired Frank Reich and replaced him with Jeff Saturday, which is funny because he had a few days ago, what was his tweet? Said the Raiders are terrible and now they play the Raiders. This is so great. And it was like a circus where Jim Irsay bringing him on and the press conference and Jeff Saturday, who seems like a nice enough guy. Shaq, you've interviewed him, right?
I never have met. Probably met him at a Super Bowl and talked to him on when they're doing their rounds and shilling their stuff. But by all accounts, he's a super nice guy. I got to say, I don't. This feels like a hot take in favor of the vanilla choice of the mild choice, but. This is a lost cause. They're starting a QB who nobody thinks is going to turn into a full-time starter. I feel like the writing's kind of on the wall here, and this is a way – for Jim Irsay to do something. And I guess there has been a fair amount of pushback in the local media and with some of the fan base, but largely it's kind of like, yeah, he's one of our guys. And before you know it, the season will be over and he can just be a figurehead, right? Can he do the Herm Edwards? Like, hey, come on, guys, we got to give our best and let the position coaches do their thing and get through this mess of a season and hopefully wind up with one of those top five picks. Because what ails them is not having a QB.
You know, I might be with you now. You turned it around. I think other teams could do this too, right? So who's another bad team right now? Maybe the
Pittsburgh Steelers. If I'm Stephen Ross. Yeah.
Well, what if Barrett?
If I'm Stephen Ross, I would sue Jim Irsay.
For this? For this whole thing?
Oh, this is the plan that he should have did. Yeah. Like, think about it. Stephen Ross went and told the coach he had to tank. Mm-hmm. What Irsay did was he fired the capable coach he had in Frank Reich and said, I will hire somebody that has no shot of figuring this thing out. I'm almost guaranteeing. Hey, Jeff, try your best. Best of luck, pal. Good luck. Yeah. I mean, and
it's a trading places kind of thing, but it's also, Martin, I think, like, what if the Lions just brought Barry Sanders on for the last 8 weeks? That's your head coach. It's kind of fun, right? You want to lose anyway at this point.
Yeah, but I just, you know, when you think about, I mean, obviously coaching hiring is like a hot button issue in terms of like gets the reps. It's just like, for me, the wild thing, if I was Reggie Wayne, someone I know Dave has interviewed before, I'd be like, yo, you got to be freaking kidding me. The only way that this, like, the only way that you can, like, stomach this is, like Dave said, is the idea that the Colts are not trying to win. So you wouldn't want to saddle somebody who's actually trying to coach with this, you know, what is it, 0-7 record on their head coaching, so after the fact, right?
It does.
Like,
you're not doing Reggie Wayne really. How big a solid are you doing Reggie Wayne, who wants to be a coach for the long term, by doing this?
If he wants to be a coach, that's a different thing. Yeah, right. But if you want to bring, you know, Steve Smith coaches Carolina, you know, like something like that. That could be fun, right?
If we're bringing back alumni to coach a team, then the Pittsburgh Steelers need to blow in a call to one Terry Bradshaw.
How
great would that be? That'd be very funny.
He's good.
He is. I get what people are talking about. I also think there's some slight fear that all the people. It's sort of like, remember when Ty Montgomery, where number 88 first started playing running back, and all the running backs in pro football, Maurice Jones-Drew was one of the guys who I love to get into, and he did not think it was very funny. I'm like, you just don't like that a wide receiver can one day decide, like, oh, I'm going to be a running back and succeed. That makes you look bad based on your chosen profession. Mm-hmm. I think some coaches out there are like, what if this guy is good? Everything's a canard then. All the jive that we've been spewing for the years is going to get exposed. I think there's some concern about, like, what if it works? But I don't think it's a big deal. The idea about, like, obviously the Rooney Rule will be applied as soon as the offseason begins, if not before. I don't think it's a slight to anybody. I just think it's a sunny choice to finish off a lost season.
Dave, hold on, Dave. It's 1,000% a slight. Maybe Irsay didn't mean it to be a slight, but every single person on that coaching staff has got to be looking like, are you effing serious? Like, you hired a guy who I was watching on Sunday morning pick either the Colts or the Patriots to come be the coach on Tuesday? Get out of here, man. Like, it's so unserious that if I'm other owners or other teams, I'm talking to people like, yo, he's so clearly tanking and not trying to win that there should be some level. Like, there's no justification of it. Otherwise,
but
there's literally
it's not against the rules to do that. They have a QB in there who you know can't work long term.
Right.
Now they have a head coach in there who you know can't work long term. So, you know, I think they're making it pretty clear, right? They just can't say that out loud.
I think it's a power move by the owner. It's like, hey, don't forget, I could really screw things up. And this is a lost season anyway, but let me show you what I could do here. I could put a Jeff Saturday in here, and then everybody's talking, you know, I'm not Dan Snyder territory yet. But don't just realize what I could do, how much power I wield over this organization.
And by the way, I talked to guys as recently as, you know, last week about this effect of like, how do you fully tank? What happens is they have people in their corners, whether it's their agent or their publicist, whoever's in their ear. A lot of these guys, the big stars, are like, don't play. You're still hurt. They get that a lot. Like, this season is not useful for you to get a bad knee injury or otherwise. I mean, let's see what happens with Jonathan Taylor these next couple of weeks. Is he definitely in there banging around as much as he usually does? Like I say, right now it looks like, you know, they want to get Bryce Young or CJ Stroud or one of the other guys.
It was just weird when they gave up on the season, right? I think they were still only a game and a half back of the Titans. They had lost two to them, so that was going to be the big obstacle. But they really just let it all go. All right, listen, we're talking good coaches, bad decisions. It's all boiled down every week in this segment we call Martin's Meatheads. Martin, hit us with your meatheads.
So the first meathead, Aaron Rodgers. Dropping back, it's after the first interception is when I took this note. So he had two, like, obviously it got worse. But he hits a lineman in the face with the football and then walks to the sideline and proceeds to tell everybody else how it's their fault. Like, if you hit a defender in the face with the ball, I got to say, Rodgers, that one's on you.
All right.
Now, secondly, Cooper Kupp not getting the first down, sliding down, trying to be cute. Football is a game. You accumulate first downs to score touchdowns. You want to slide down and try to save the clock and all this and that. Congratulations. Your defense had to go back out on the field, and you lost that game and cost me the bread. Then I had to look this guy's name up. Taquan Graham of the Atlanta Falcons recovers a fumble. All you got to do is fall down. Instead, I don't know what this big 6'4", 330-pound guy thinks he's going to – he thinks he's taking it to the house? Like, what do you do? Like, fall down and get the ball to the guys who get paid to carry the ball and then go to overtime. Instead, you fumble it without anybody being within 5 yards of you. The ball bounces three times before a charger recovers it. One more play for Cameron Dicker field goal for the Falcons to lose, and then also that – Jaguars Falcons conversation we had 10 minutes ago is entirely different if he just falls down. And I have an honorable mention, the referee who ran into Harrison Smith on that play that would have been an interception by Taylor Heineke that turned into a Washington touchdown.
All right. Okay. Out of those, I don't think it was Kupp's fault. That defense was just so bad that last drive. I know Kupp was trying to kill the clock. And I thought at the time, I thought sliding in bounds was the right way to go. I'll go Aaron Rodgers. I've been on his side all year. Why are they surrounding him with junk? He can't get in sync with anybody, but it was absolutely his fault losing that game, throwing like he did. Maybe he shouldn't have played with the bum thumb. I think that's the way to go. All right, Check, what do you think out of Martin?
Well, by the way, I think you're right, Sal, about the end of that Rams-Bucks game. I don't know if it falls to McVay or the defensive coordinator, but whoever is should be ashamed of himself. What do you think Tom Brady's going to do with the ball? He has no chance if he throws it over the middle. He then gets – then they have to spike it, and then they have one to two more shots. You just continually gave up the sidelines, and they – you know, 15, 20 yards at a time in the blink of an eye, they were right there ready to win the game. That was atrocious. I'm going a little off the board, though, because rarely do we get a flashpoint for two teams like we did. I think it very likely determines one team making the playoffs and one team missing it when that would have flipped. It's when Drake London is about to take the lead for the Falcons. He's running the ball in at what, the 5 yard line against the Chargers. And Khalil Mack just takes it out of his hands and starts running. That's the end of the game. That saves the Chargers season. I mean, they would be in the mix, but I don't think the math is there for them without that win. And I think the Falcons would be 5-4 right now on their way to Carolina to get to 6-4 with a win there. So I think it kind of flipped things in a major way.
That also could have been 5-4 if Taquan Graham fell down instead of giving the Chargers a wider field goal.
Both of those.
I'll say this. That was a Cameron Dicker, you said? His first name's Cameron. I've said this before, but good job by him proving picking the profession that he chose, right? Like becoming a kicker. He has to become Dicker the kicker. Otherwise, everyone's making fun of his name in a different way. So he steals and sways the narrative to Dicker the kicker, or maybe Dicker the weed picker, not as glamorous, but he did a good job saving that name. He could have changed it, of course.
He could have worked at the U.S. Postal Service and been Dicker the licker.
Oh, yeah, right.
There are other options out there, but we're running out of them, you know?
Yeah, if he was a nurse,
timekeeper, the ticker, right, the sicker, right.
Right, but kicker, I think, is the most, you know, respectable lucrative. Of everything lucrative. We just named. Yeah, exactly. All right, speaking of lucrative, let's make some money. Our plays of the day. Did we lose all three of our pops of the day? I think we did. Sheck, well, we you got me one. Off the Commanders, no. And I ended up taking the Bears. Both lost. Martin, you won?
You're damn right.
Who
I did
you have again? Oh, the Lions, right?
Detroit That's Lions.
Right. Good pick. Good pick. God, they're 6-5 against the Packers in the last 11. It doesn't seem right. I'm going Akron. Maction tonight. Akron +7.5. Yeah, I'm buying the half point to -120 over Eastern Michigan. They're terrible, the Zips. Akron 1-8. They've now lost 40 of their last 44 games. But DJ Irons averaging 290 passing per game. That's 20th in the country. Eastern Michigan read up on it. Not a great pass rush. Is it that hard to pronounce pass rush? Chris Collinsworth cannot do it. Cannot say pass rush.
Pass rush
is something that we've been
talking
about.
I'm just going to tell you. I just got to tell you. I really do.
Why is that so hard? Just slow it down. Pass rush. As bad as they've been, though, Akron, 3-5 losses in conference by 7 or less right there in the MAC. I'm taking the +7.5 over Eastern Michigan. We got football on Tuesday, Martin. What are you going?
I'm going with Montana +4 over Duke.
Yes. Opening day, college hoops.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's college basketball is just getting started. But
what the hell do you know about this?
I can tell you a whole bunch of reasons why.
This is my pick, I think, in terms of.
I was about to say, I just know that Duquesne is terrible. They finished the year in their last 30 games. They only won six of them. They won seven. They lost 17 in a row. And today at work, I saw Scott the Grizz Holmes. So, I mean, the vibes are
what
good.
What is that?
You got to take Montana and the Grizz.
Oh,
Montana
I got Grizzlies. You. They're the Grizzlies. All right. All right, check. Boy, can you get more obscure than the first two games we picked?
No, you're ahead of the game if you – Yeah. You're ahead of the game if you know how to properly pronounce the name Duquesne. Most people say Duquesne. What is that? Duquesne? What
do?
Is that?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh. It's fun. There's a Duquesne in Culver City, California, and people say, like, what is that? What kind of street name is that? Duquesne, of course. Now,
Duquesne is how I would say it if I didn't know
Duquesne,
how to say it. Right? It reads Duquesne.
Duquesne have a good pass rush, I wonder? I don't know.
I am going with – I really want to take the Flames, who I – since I announced that I really like them, have lost five straight. They're playing the Devils, who have won six straight. That makes them potentially – maybe Eddie Spaghetti will weigh in on this at some point. That makes them this year's Rangers team because they're arriving a little ahead of schedule are those Devils. But Flames played last night. It's too much. It's a real roll of the dice. You know, betting, trying to turn things around in one game for both sides. Instead, I hate to do it. I'm going with two of my least favorite. I hate the Islanders more than I hate the Rags, though. Rags laying 1.5 in MSG +143. Wow. The Islanders played last night. The Rags didn't. That's the difference. Last time we saw the Rags, they had their bum backup goaltender in there. That's not going to happen again tonight. I'm taking NYR, the Rags.
Spaghetti, do you endorse this Rangers pick, or are you terrified now that Damashek is behind it?
Yeah, not great that Dave's picking them.
not great. I made a lot of good picks lately.
I don't like the pressure on them. You are right about that. Igor will be in net. The Islanders have played the Rangers pretty tough as of late. I'm not sure how many last games. Meatballs probably has a stat, but I feel like the Islanders kind of had their number. Gerard Gallant made kind of waves in the media the last day or two because he put Chris Kreider to the fourth line. He broke up Kreider and Zibanejad, who have been the best scoring duo in the league for since they were paired together. So it'll be an interesting kind of rebound game for the Rangers, who surrendered a 2-0 lead to Detroit. So I don't feel great about this one, especially laying any goals.
All right, Meatballs, Islanders are winning this, right?
Well, they're coming off a back-to-back, but I you know, I do like him tonight. I am not going to bet against him. So, you know,
All right.
Who, the Islanders you're not betting against? I just – these back-to-back games, it feels – I don't have the numbers in front of me just anecdotally reacting to it. It seems like about halfway through these games consistently, all of a sudden the team that played last night just falls off dramatically. Their legs get sluggish.
Bet the first period. Bet Rangers first period. I think that would be the way to go there. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll go over our college basketball pick for 2022-2023. All right, so that's that. Let's talk real quick. We did bring up a lot of Duquesne talk in the college basketball world. No, we are going to pick a winner. I'm going Arizona 22-1. We tipped off last night. Tommy Lloyd's team, I like him, 33-4 last year. UCLA may even win that conference, but and Benedict Mathurin is out. Obviously, he's a pro now, but Kerr Carissa, breakout star, 10 points, 5 assists. I like this team. They got a 7-footer inside, was a reserve. Umar Balo is a junior. Expect big things from that guy. 22-1 Arizona Wildcats. That's a big number for a team that competed well last year. Martin, who's your pick?
I'm taking Creighton. I don't know how. I think I got a 22-1. So I think this is a team you'll see in the Elite Eight in the Final Four. So you'll probably be able to hedge out of it at 22-1. But they got my boy. I lost his page. Bailey Shireman, who transferred there from some small school, some terrible small school. But everybody was talking about how this guy, like, is going to be like, what's his name? Like Drew Timmy, or one of those guys who is like a great college player but is not supposed to last in the pros, or not supposed to, like, he's going to be a guy who's going to be going pro on something else. Shout out to the Enterprise commercials. So I'm going with him.
All right.
I figure if they get to the Elite Eight, then I'll pick somebody who I think has a shot to win it.
Check.
But Creighton at 22-1.
Pitt Panthers, come on.
They're 1-0. They're better than Duquesne. They got to get back that city series. But that's provincial talk. Yeah, and I'm also not going to take Montana. But I am going to take UK is the play to me. I like Calipari. It's one of those, you know, the ebb and flow of like this is a premium group that he's got this year, even by UK standards. So I like them to win it all. But this is November. This is the time for a fun bet, right? Ergo, I got to take the Indiana Hoosiers 30-1. They are legitimately they're going to be good this year. They should be good. They were starting to put things together last year with Woodson. I think they're going to be I know they're going to be better than they were a year ago. It's not a wild long shot, but it's fun enough to sprinkle something on it right now.
All right, listen, Tate Frazier will be on Against All Odds later this afternoon, so check him out. He's got all the winners. He does this. I mean, no, he should have a network job already. Get him on there. He knows more than
Can you ask Tate a question for me? While you're doing it?
Okay.
I want to know what he thinks about TCU.
TCU football or basketball?
Yeah.
Because Damashek, that's
Steve basketball. Dyer.
Okay. All right, I'll ask him about the Horned Frogs. Yeah. There you go.
That's we'll talk college
football. Yeah, ask him what.
That's right, Jamie.
They're sitting like 50-1 to win the whole thing, but I was reading a few like Ken Palm things of the world, and it feels like that number's off.
All right.
So I'm curious what Tate's
opinion. We don't need a deep dive on that from me, but I will say anyway, I'm going to say something about it. That style of ball, believe me, I watched it for 20 years with Ben Howland into Jamie Dixon. It's one of those approaches that wins you a ton of regular season games, but Howland had some high-end talent, and he got fired because he kind of repressed the unique talent. They were good enough to get to a Final Four, but not win at all. I hear what you're saying. They're going to be a good team, though, TCU.
Yeah. All right. I will ask Tate about that. Title, though. We're going to hit that. We'll preview the we'll recap the Monday night game on Against All Odds. Shaq.
TCU is going to lose to Texas this weekend. That's Dave's pick there.
Good. Then we don't want him to hear about him too much. Shaq, you have -3. Kevin Hench coming up tomorrow. There's an episode already in the books.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I speak for the sports world, but once in a while I got to do one for me and my Steelers people. And so we got #2 for Ike Taylor. We did a deep dive on the state of the Steelers, not just now, but moving forward into the next couple of years here. So good stuff there. And Mr. Lister tonight.
Mr. Lister.
Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Be there. Be square. Spotify Live.
Beautiful. That's going to be a lot of fun. And Martin, lemon pepper parlay. Do me a favor. Ask Will Blackman what he thinks about TCU basketball. And get back. No, you don't have to. But lemon pepper parlay will go over all the week 9 action and preview week 10.
You know it.
All right.
Me and Will. Will started to get his picks in order
he
a
is.
Little
He is. I think he was 7-3-2 this week or something on our site. Yeah, he's making a move. So check it out. We got Waiver Wire with Jen Piacenti and Eddie Spaghetti. Lots of fun there. Covered in Glory, our soccer podcast. The Megans will get it together. Megan Fun of Sports. Megan Galey will eat a can of, room temperature New England clam chowder. Right,
vomit alert.
Whatever to say.
What's the odds on that, Sal?
That she can't keep it down during the podcast? I'd say
that
minus.
She throws up.
Plus 260. Okay, plus 260. Fine. Yeah, because I think she'll stop herself. Spaghetti, make sure she eats a lot of it, all right?
I'm going to do my best to not only make sure that the Megans, you know, she somehow swallows all that gross lukewarm soup, but I'll also make sure on waiver wire that Jen keeps her Astros talk to a minimum.
Oh, yeah, that's even more vomitous, I think, even though I won money on it, but that money's gone. So there you go. Everyone go out and vote. I want to remind everyone, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.